Welcome! Yeah, baby!
Oh, what's going on? That is loud. Jesus.
I warned you, buddy.
All right, man. Well, it is November 20th, Tuesday, 2012, blah, blah, blah.
The first Jar Show before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
This is our first Thanksgiving as a show, as the jar.
That's true.
As the jar of truth.
That is very true,
Hopefully
Ronald.
We can all pass around this lovely jar of truth on our lovely Thanksgiving holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Lord knows there's going to be plenty of time to sit around and do nothing, so we might as well have the show on, right? All right.
I'm down. Listen to you sipping your tea.
Ah, my green tea. My green tea. anyway, what's going on?
Can you queue up a round of applause for me? Is that possible?
Oh, I'm sure I could do that.
Cool, man. Cool. Pull that up.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind. Go for it. Just hit it. Let's hit it. Let's, big round of applause for Mr. Jay Olin over here for helping me move on Saturday.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to point that out. He was more than helpful. Thanks, buddy. Thank you very
sure,
much.
Sure, thank you. No problem. That was stupendous. Oh, that's good. That's still going. at least we haven't become less professional in the last week.
This is very true.
Okay, so what's going on, people?
Jay, since you wanted to talk about some interesting movie, you saw The Antichrist, is that it?
It's just called Antichrist. Yeah.
Not The Antichrist.
Correct.
My bad.
Well, I was just going to tell people about this fucking guy, man. I was going to the store before I went over to Ronnie's on Saturday, and this guy stopped me in the parking lot because he loved my Type O Negative t-shirt, and I thought, like, wow, this is gonna be really cool. Like, I met some, like, you know, elderly Type O fan. That's pretty dope. But it turned out he just liked the design of the shirt or whatever, and he was really bizarre. He ended up kind of like cornering me for about 15 minutes in the parking lot talking about...
That's why you were so late.
Shut up. Talking about different... you weren't even there when I showed up. Talking about different jobs. And he suggested that I apply to any of the many Huntington Beach District High Schools around here to be, I guess, a music teacher. Because his kids are musicians. I don't know if you know this, but I know all about this guy now.
Do you know what his last name is?
I just know his name is Brian. And the other thing that was funny is that I mentioned to him I was on the radio. I don't understand how... Like, I come in, you know, contact with just as many people as any other person does, and every single person I think I've come into contact with, it's like I've talked to about jobs and stuff, like, random people have all somehow been in radio. I'm like, what the fuck?
Hold on. Older guy, right? Gray hair,
beard.
Beard.
Glasses.
Bartosz.
Okay.
Yes. I do know who he is. I played one show with him once. He plays bass.
Okay.
And his kids both sing.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if you wanted me to release that sensitive info, sure, but it just clicked with me who you're talking about.
I'm sure he'll be listening. But oh, totally. he was going on and on about how great the APA program is, which is the Academy of Performing Arts. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, he went. His kids went there.
All right, thanks.
There you go.
And he was just like, "Oh yeah, they've got a great program there, and you wouldn't believe the marching band this high school has." I'm like,
"Yeah,
I would believe it because I have a friend that was in the marching band." Really? No, like calling my bluff. I'm like, son, I know somebody. His name is Ronnie Johnston.
You know Ronnie?
Total disbelief. And then he was like, yeah, he went to SLO. I'm like, no, he didn't. But that's okay.
No, I'm boring. I didn't go to college.
Well, not necessarily boring. You took a stab at it. Just didn't really take.
That makes me feel a lot better. I'm a junior college dropout, and that's how you decide to put it oh so eloquently. Yes, that's what I do. Fucking chilling here with a USC grad over here. So
yeah.
That's what's up, son.
So anyway, I, due to unemployment, have had ample time in the evenings to watch different films, which is good and bad.
Yeah, unemployment!
Yeehaw. So there
Ding.
Is there,
no, no. Yeah. I won't go there. Continue.
Thank you, please. There's this movie that's been on my list or on my radar, on my queue, my mental queue for a while, called Antichrist, which is by a director Lars von Trier, who's kind of a provocateur, and very interesting film. I didn't know what I was going to think of it because it had a reputation of being very well provocative and kind of disturbing and somewhat grisly going into it, and I didn't really quite know all about it, but I think that was actually better because it's more interesting to see it unfold if you don't know anything about it, as most movies are. But it was interesting. It's about a therapist and his wife, and they have a small child, I'm guessing is probably about 2 years old. And during the opening scene, they're you know, getting it on, and it's pretty graphic. It's all black and white in the beginning, and it's shot in slow-mo with, what's the guy's name? Handel. George Friedrich Handel.
Bill Handel?
No, not quite. But they're playing a snippet of Handel in the background, which makes it all the creepier. And they kind of juxtapose the scenes with the sex with the scenes with this boy who somehow managed to get out of his crib, crawl up into an open window, and then goes kerplunk onto the snowy ground below.
Nice.
And the entire rest of the movie is about the grieving process, and Willem Dafoe is trying to kind of coach his wife through the entire process, and it turns out to be very bizarre. There are a lot of hallucinations and stuff, and a lot of mutilation, self-mutilation. And it's a really fascinating film, especially since there are only two people in the entire movie. Willem Dafoe being the guy, and I can't remember the lady's name. Damn. Anyway, if you're into very bizarre art films, then check it out. If you're if you have a weak constitution, or if
you're boring like me,
or if you only like action films, which by the way is not a problem.
I just like action. I like comedy, so like that's it.
I wasn't referring to you specifically.
I thought you were just talking about me. I was like, you dick.
Yeah, recommended. It was actually a lot better than I thought it would be.
Antichrist. All right.
I don't know if it'd really be up your alley.
No.
But I mean,
how do you say that?
Well, I don't know.
Is
I don't
it
know.
Not funny?
It's certainly not funny. It
sounds funny to
me. Depends on, you know, what kind of attention span you have as a moviegoer, because
not a very big one.
Okay, well then you wouldn't like it.
Then again, I like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and shit.
Yeah,
so.
But those movies are. I mean,
yeah,
there's,
we'll see.
But there's always a lot going on in those films. Like this is a very slow paced film.
Gotcha.
You know, it's not like we're going to Mordor, but
Mount Doom.
Back to the Shire. So anyway, that, and I also recently watched one of the classics, which I'd never seen before, Lawrence of Arabia. Very long movie. It's about 4 hours long. And
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah. 1962, directed by David Lean.
I've heard of that one. I've never actually seen it, though.
And it's a funny watch for Star Wars fans, because Alec Guinness, of course, who plays Obi-Wan Kenobi, plays a Arab desert prince, and he's like basically in blackface, and it sounds like Obi-Wan with this really sketchy Middle Eastern accent. It's pretty funny.
Nice.
But the movie is like I said, very long, very involved. I wish I had actually known more about it going in, because I didn't know what it was about. And there's not a whole ton of exposition. So if you're not really aware of what the movie's about, you're kind of confused for the first half hour, which I was definitely confused.
Okay.
But just in terms of the scope of the production of the film, like set design, and I think it was all shot on location in the Middle East.
Nice.
The costume design, the acting, everything is just like superb. So a good movie to watch again if you have a good chunk of time, because it's not a brief film, or you could break it up, I guess. Yeah. But I was talking to my sister over the weekend about how great it is, how great technology, at least in this regard, is, because I remember it, as a kid watching like Dances with Wolves and Braveheart, and when you went to Blockbuster, you had to rent like four different cassettes because the movies were so long they wouldn't fit on one. Now you can get like a four-hour film on one Blu-ray plus extras. It's the best. Anyway, I'm a nerd.
A little bit.
Yeah, I know. You know what pissed me off? Okay, so I don't usually talk about other radio people because, I don't know, it's kind of stupid. I'm going to give him exposure. Although, this guy I happen to really like, which is not a surprise to anyone who knows me, but Howard Stern.
Oh, really? You like Stern?
Yeah, weird.
Cool,
I know.
Man.
Who would have
cool.
thought?
Badass.
I love Howard, but I agree with 90% of the things that he says. One thing he was saying, though, to Gary, who's their producer, who's into films as well, is he couldn't fathom why someone would buy a movie. Like, why someone would buy a DVD. He's like, why wouldn't you just rent it? Like, I buy DVDs and I just give them away. If I want to watch it again, I'll rent it. I'm like, well, that makes no sense. And really, my analogy would be like, well, it's just like, I mean, it's longer sometimes, but it's just like, why would you listen to a record you like again and again? It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just a different form of art. So, I mean, if you like something, why wouldn't you purchase it and watch it multiple times? That was something that always astounded me with people that I worked with at my former place of employment, because my friend Brian and I like know tons of lines from all kinds of movies because we watch them over and over again. And people are like, how the fuck do you know all these lines? Like, because I've seen this movie 10 times. Like, oh, I would never watch a movie more than once. And is that you?
No, I'm not with movies. I'm the same way. Me and my boss actually the same way with TV shows and some movies.
Some movie, you know what, like there's one movie.
These snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Like there's a classic you can watch over and over again.
Oh, hell yeah. I watched it twice.
I've seen the movie like 20 times.
I just watched it for the first time Wow, I choked. About a year ago.
We're talking about Super Troopers, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Not quite.
directed by J. Chandrasekhar, some Indian guy.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, when my girlfriend and I started dating, she made me watch that movie as soon as she found that I hadn't seen it. It was like, stop everything. You're watching this. So I didn't really have too much of a choice, but I really enjoyed it. It was really funny.
And I mean, I can understand that with certain...
Pull over. Can't pull over anymore, man.
Can't pull over any further. That's a great movie.
Go ahead, radio.
Go call me Radio Unit 91.
Yeah. I don't want a liter of cola. Or no, I don't want a large Farva. I want a goddamn liter of cola.
Yeah, that movie, like Big Lebowski and...
Oh, fuck yeah.
Any Quentin Tarantino movie really is just endlessly quotable. There are some great scenes in the Super Troopers. Have you ever seen the other ones they did? Like Club Dread?
No.
And fuck.
I never saw that one either.
The Slammin' Salmon. That was really bad.
Never saw it.
It was really bad. But Club Dread's kind of funny because Bill Paxton plays this drunk, like Jimmy Buffett type character. And there's this great scene where they're all sitting around this fire because of this island resort. And he had written this song called... Pina Coladaburg, as opposed to Margaritaville.
Mm-hmm.
And this blonde dumb chick's like, play Margaritaville. He's like, look, you dumb bitch, I wrote Pina Coladaburg 15 goddamn years before that stupid Jimmy Buffett came up with Margaritaville. It's just,
where have I seen that? I've seen that clip before.
I don't know.
I don't know if I saw it on TV or what, but I have seen that part.
Pina Coladaburg, though, I love that. It's a slice of genius right there. But,
you dumb bitch.
Like, one movie I can say I've never seen more than once, which is supposedly a classic. It's in the top 250 of IMDb, is The Sixth Sense. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I won't spoil it for those of you who haven't seen it.
Being just me.
But probably.
Go on, yeah, whatever.
It was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
But after it was, the movie was spoiled for me, unfortunately, before I saw it. And when I saw it, it was just so blatantly obvious what the twist at the end was. And it was my freshman year of college, and I remember... Everyone at that point had seen it. I was late to the party. Even, well, not quite as late as you, but...
Yeah, really.
Still late to the party. And they were really good about it. They weren't assholes. They didn't spoil it intentionally. And then just randomly we're having a conversation on the way to dinner one night. And one of them let it slip. I'm like, oh, fuck. So, of course, when I finally saw it, I watched it with my mom, who had no idea what the twist was. And she was just blown away. She's like, oh, that was great. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking knew the whole time. It's really annoying. Anyway... movies like that have like an insane twist at the end. Although, have you ever seen The Usual Suspects?
No,
you've got to see. God, these are such great movies you need to see. That one has a great twist at the end, but I could watch that over and over. It's fantastic. Also very quotable.
Yes? I think the most recent, I guess, kind of horror film I saw was Insidious.
That was good.
I mean, the only really cheesy part was The Further.
Yes, the scenes in The Further were pretty lame. Everything else was genuinely very creepy.
It was really good. I actually went to see that one in theaters, and I've watched it twice since then. It was definitely good.
That's a very creepy film. So one of the few PG-13 horror movies that I can tolerate, because I just hate how they cop out just so they can sell it to a bunch of stupid 11-year-old kids.
Yeah,
well, but
I mean, it was PG-13, not PG-11.
Yeah, but so I had a neighbor that once said that to me. He's like, oh, I hope we can get into this movie. It's PG-13. We're only 12. I'm like, fuckface, you can get into a movie if it's PG-13 and you're not 13. What do 13-year-olds carry around ID cards? Give me a break. It just means it's suggested for kids under 13 not to see it, but... Suggested for them not to see it. Not recommended for kids. I don't know, whatever, fuck it.
That's why it's parental guidance.
Yes.
13.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, if your parents let you go see it, is what's intended. But
I think it's funny too that the X rating, which I think had gone the way of the dodo long before you were born, doesn't exist anymore. Not even in the I don't even think really in the NC-17 evolution of that whole rating thing, because everything now, if it's going to be not R, if it's like too hardcore for R, they just say it's unrated. So.
Yeah, it's getting kind of annoying.
So, I don't know.
Unrated. It's like
Antichrist was unrated.
So anybody can see it?
Well, that just means that the MPA never really approved of whether it's, you know,
fuck 'em.
For general audiences or restricted or whatever.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Ugh.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I went on for...
No, man. Not at all. That was neat.
All right, yeah. So what's going on?
Computer. I don't really know what I want to get into first. I mean, I got a whole slew of shit over here. You have a whole slew of shit.
The fact that Pau Gasol made his 15,000th point the other night during his game.
Yeah, I saw that on your Facebook, buddy. Fuck yeah.
Go Pau.
Pau.
I had a dream, actually, that I had. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off because I'm going to talk about this. I had two really weird dreams. I had one dream that I was hanging out with Kobe because, you know, I do that from time to time.
Oh, were you molesting chicks?
And yes. And we were like dinner or something like that. And I said something like, this is before they started, or I think like right when they started turning around, because then they were still like their 1-4 losing streak. And I said something like, you know, oh, you know, something to the effect that I can't wait for the Lakers to win. And he like shot me this look like, hey, motherfucker, we're trying. And I was like, no, dude, you played a great game. Like, you've been playing great, like averaging like 30 points and all these rebounds and stuff. He's like, yeah, don't worry, we'll get a win for you. And like kind of busted my ass about it. I'm like, oh, shit. I just told Kobe that his team sucks.
You pissed off Kobe?
Yeah. And then I had a dream last night that I was hanging out with the Biebs, of all people.
Oh, the Biebs.
I was hanging out with the Biebs.
Were you hanging out with him and his toothbrush?
Mm-hmm. He was cleaning my bicuspids. Anyway, we were like, he was at a show, and we were this like big theater. It was like not, you know, a regular like concert hall, like you know, like the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Yeah, he's gonna take a picture.
I'm taking a picture of this. I'm tweeting this right now.
Please do
right now. There we go.
Click.
Okay, so let's.
But it was like a theater, like a, you know, play, musical, opera type theater.
Yeah.
And we were in this like area, and he's like, "Hey man, you want to come get a drink with me?" I'm like, "Aren't you like kind of young to get drinks or whatever?" He was like, "All right." So we went up there, and he like bought me like a martini and shit like that. And we were talking about stuff. For whatever reason, in this dream, I had my backpack with me, and I brought it into this little place where we were having drinks. And the truly bizarre part of it was that there was no one else around. It was me, Biebs, and some chick, and had a drink, left, and then I forgot my backpack inside this bar area. I go outside, and then suddenly Justin Bieber's being escorted by all these like security guards. I guess he has to go start a show, and this guy wouldn't let me back in to get my damn backpack. And he started like asking me for like my passport and stuff. I'm like, what? That was weird. These are my dreams, people. I can't control them.
That is awesome. I'm trying to tweet this right now. Jay's toothbrush.
Jay's weird Justin Bieber dream. I don't know.
There we go.
He didn't sing to me. I was very upset.
Oh, you poor thing. All right. So that's been officially tweeted, so everybody can go check out Jay's toothbrush. We need to be more active on social media.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously. So, yeah, basically, there's been something happening around Santa Monica that at least, I mean, it's kind of started to piss me off, and I'm not a religious person at all, so I really have no stake in this. Yeah, I don't know if you remember this last year, but there was one atheist in Santa Monica who was so offended, Jesus, at the Christmas decorations all over.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that. Yes. A lot of fucking people out here do remember that. Well, this year it's gone a step further, and it's now in court.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's no longer a lottery of who gets one of these 13 spaces. There's been, there's been...
What do you mean 13 spaces?
There's 13 different spaces, and it used to be one big nativity scene, and then they turned it into a lottery. I think there's like 18. The atheists got like 12. The Jews got 3, and the Christians got the remaining.
Crazy Jews.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, basically, yeah, they fit this big, huge nativity scene into just a few little spaces of land that they had. And yeah, this year it went to court, and it was decided that you know we're not gonna do this. We're just gonna side with the city that we don't want any more bullshit. The city of Santa Monica, where you recently were, I believe.
Stupid Santa Monica, yeah. And their stupid parking restrictions. But yes,
I do want to get to that in a minute. Okay. But I mean, basically, so yeah, this tradition basically of the big nativity scene has been there since I think 1955, somewhere right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's a group of atheists basically suing the city over this, they're deciding just to not show it anymore. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't affect their life in any way because they don't believe in this. So personally, as an atheist myself, I find it to be a little infuriating. There we go.
I think it is too.
I
mean, we weren't... I didn't really grow up in a religious household, even though my mom and my sister are a little bit more spiritual, I think, than my dad and I are. But
it's normal.
We always celebrated Christmas. We didn't inject Jesus into everything, but it was still, we had a nativity scene. We had a Christmas tree and all that kind of fun stuff. Like
it's a time of just getting together with family and giving people things.
I have no problem with
people
putting up decorations and
stuff. No, put up all the fucking nativity scenes you want. I don't fucking give a shit if it's on public land. I'm not going to bitch about it because I don't believe in it. That's just you being an asshole.
Exactly.
So basically, we have people now like Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. I don't know what channel this is. Do you know what channel Pat Robertson is on?
I do not.
Anyways, this is a Huffington Post story, and there's a video to go along with it. And basically, the title of this is miserable atheists are trying to steal Christmas, which bothers me immensely. But let's
Grinches.
Yeah, the word Grinch is used in the story, I believe. Sure. So let's take a look and see if my computer decides.
Well, to work for me. Christmas all over again. The Grinch is trying to steal our holiday. It's been so beautiful. The nation comes together. Uh-huh. We sing Christmas carols. We give gifts to each other. We have lighted trees, and it's just a beautiful thing. Atheists don't like our happiness. They don't want you to be happy. They want you to be miserable. They're miserable, so they want you to be miserable. So they want to steal your holiday away from you.
See, and it's people, it's assholes like these fucking atheists that are trying to ban fucking Christmas trees and shit on public land that really bug the shit out of me because it has absolutely no effect on my life, their life, or anybody else's life. People who put the shit up just like putting it up. I mean, there's really no issue that I see with that. Believe whatever you like to believe. It doesn't get in my way at all. As long as you're not trying to shove it down my throat, I won't try to shove it down your throat. That makes sense, right? Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, but you looked. And in a somewhat related story, I'm going to look right through that. Russell Brand, I'm sure we all know the actor and comedian Russell Brand, right,
yes,
Jay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Dated Katy Perry for a while.
Yeah. The only movie I ever saw that he was in was Get Him to the Greek.
I haven't seen any of his films.
What, did he do The Hangover? Was he in The Hangover? No.
Not the first one.
So, yeah, Get Him to the Greek is the only film of his that I saw. Was not impressed, to be perfectly honest. He's just a wacky guy, and I guess that makes him hilarious. Mm-hmm. He's just raunchy and disgusting. I guess that's my generation of funny, but apparently, I don't know how true this really is. This is another Huffington Post story, of course. He interviews members of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Ah, yeah, those freaks.
Yeah. They're the people that, you know, I mean, yeah, they go around...
Picket funerals.
They picket funerals with the God hates fags.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely... I mean, that's the group of people that if they were to approach me and try to shove their point of view down my throat...
Mm, yummy. Yeah.
I would get very offended and lash out at them, but this video isn't really loading in time. But let's check out what I do have of it.
Oh, Drain please. And Timothy Phelps of the Westboro Baptist Church is a type of religion. Don't be mean. Which one are you, mate?
Steve,
sit down, bruv. Which one are you?
Bruv.
Hello, Timothy. Sit down in comfort.
I want to bring you a sign, first of all.
This says Fag Pimp Brand.
Absolutely.
Hey, make yourself comfy, mate. Now, this, of course, is clearly offensive. As an object, Fag Pimp Brand, and I'm depicted here. That's not a very flattering photograph.
That's the face you made. You made the face.
I made the face. I paid the price. Right. Fair enough. That's true. And it says here that I'm a fag pimp.
Yes.
I'm English, of course, so being a fag pimp just means cigarette.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that was funny. But it goes on.
But in the world of vitriolic hate speak, fag means...
It means that you're an advocate for sin, is what it means.
Yeah. In a very loud... Okay, right there is where I have a problem.
I love it. All those crazy bastards.
Let's jump back and hear that part again, shall we?
In the world of vitriolic hate speak, fag means...
It means that you're an advocate for sin, is what it means, and a very loud one at that.
What?
Wow!
Whoa. Thank you. I appreciate your vocal respect, but these people are here to explain something to them, and it does take courage and bravery to come in front of a room full of people you think almost certain ain't going to agree with you. So let's hear what they've got to say, because I'm actually very interested. Fag Pimp Brand. Okay, we're keeping
you
this.
You make your living making a mockery of sin.
In fact, since you promote sin, You hate all these kind people in your heart.
I don't. I love them.
That's why he applauds your sin, because he hates you all.
I don't applaud any sins what's hurting people or yourselves.
You encourage them, right, and then they burn in hell for eternity. That's not very loving.
But when the Lord Jesus Christ said to love your neighbor as yourself, you love your neighbor as yourself by warning them when their sin is taking them to hell. And as a matter of fact, if you fail to warn your neighbor, you hate your neighbor in your heart. So by a Bible standard, we love you all. And I know that you can't believe that from your goofy Hallmark standard, but from a Bible standard, we love you.
And from a Bible standard, he hates you.
Right.
And you probably hate each other.
Bloody hell. It's like a really tricky quiz of hate. Steve, Tim, do you mind if I do the, like, I've got some questions here.
Sure.
Because, like, it'll help us for our interview.
So, I don't want to play the whole thing, because this is basically an 11-minute video. But, yeah, if you guys do want to watch the rest of it, it is on Huffington Post. Search Russell Brand interviews Westboro Baptist Church members. But I do want to play maybe another minute or so of it, because I think...
I love it.
Yes, so do I. I think he's going to get to a couple more questions here.
Why did you come here?
It's our duty.
For your...
He said duty.
He said duty.
It's our duty. It says,
to warn these people to stop sinning.
The Bible says this: cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show the people their transgressions. How do you?
And show it up your ass!
How do you show people their transgressions without making it crystal clear what the manner of your sin is? God hates fags. Ooh. I know it's not, I know it's not popular, but we're not making this stuff up. It's right in the Bible.
Oh! Do you guys know that's in the Bible? It says, "quote God hates fags."
Yeah,
dick face.
Look, there's three,
and those that practice all those acts.
Oh, look, man. First of all, we're not talking.
Right, hey, you lot, one at a time. You will all get a chance to speak.
Look, we're not
in hell.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're not talking about a base human passion like you or I might feel. Like you and I might hate each other. It's simply,
just so you know, I love you.
I know, I love you too. It's simply God's...
Oh, you heard that. He loves another man. He's a fag.
Yeah.
...fixed determination to punish the wicked in hell for their sins. Because he can. Because he's God. Because he's sovereign.
Because he can. That's crazy.
Exactly.
Okay, so God, like, it's simply God condemning what is objectively and indefatigably wrong. That's what it is.
I think he used that word incorrectly.
Accent, very well put.
This is how this language is supposed to be spoken.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheeky.
Exactly. Look, and we just preach the Bible. We're not making this stuff up.
Yes, you are.
That's their catchphrase. I like it.
The UK.
Westbury Baptist Church. We're not making this stuff up. This is to be found also in Corinthians. Verse 4.
What's your next question?
I just feel from what I've read of Jesus and what I've had explained to me that his main message was definitely tolerance and love and truth and beauty and acceptance.
Yeah, accept that. Hold on.
You know what's awesome about this is he's doing this. I don't know if you noticed, but he has like a big necklace with maybe 10 or 12 crosses on it.
Russell Brand or the...
No, Russell Brand.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome.
Hold on. Accept that. You don't get to define the love of God.
No, nor do you, though.
No, The Bible does, and here's a couple things that he said. First of all, he says, here's my love, that you keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous. And second of all, he said,
right,
Listen, mate, you're
good on the scripture and verse, but I've got to say this to you. Have you considered that the Bible, like all religious doctrine, may be allegorical and symbolic to direct us towards one holy entity of love, as opposed to a specific litigious text to direct the behavior of human beings? The Bible wasn't literally written by a cosmic entity.
It was written by the Holy Spirit.
Okay,
How was the Holy Spirit right?
It was written by people, so this guy's a fucking moron.
Well, obviously.
That's all I'm going to play this video. I may go back here later and watch more. I stopped at exactly 5 minutes and 2 seconds in, for those of you who are curious for some odd reason.
Russell Brand is far too eloquent for those two.
I know. Did you hear that? Like, what if it's allegorical? It kind of fucking hit the nail on the head, at least in my book.
Hit the nail on the hand.
Hit the...
Because Jesus was crucified.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Anyways, moving on. Did you have anything?
I'm sorry. I'm still happy about my joke there.
I kind of took you took the first 15 minutes, and I kind of just stole the next from you. So,
well, this is very, very tangential, but it's a gospel song.
We're doing it. I love it. Let's jump right in. I'm down, man. Let's hear it.
Again, this is another one. I'm not. You know, I don't want to play the whole thing because it's relatively long. But
I want to hear the whole song, man. Come on.
Well, we'll see how it goes. this is from. Oh, what do you know? The Huffington Post. And apparently, this girl, whose name is Logan, that's an odd name for a girl. Logan McWilliams here.
Did you say McWilliams?
Mac Williams, actually.
Mac Williams, this is already great.
She's a Scottish black woman. She apparently wrote a song.
A gospel tune dedicated to...
To her love of fried chicken.
All right, so here we go. That wasn't racist at all. Let's go.
Hey, she made the song, buddy.
You said fried chicken.
It's called The Chicken Song, a Logan Mac original.
Hello, I am Logan McWilliams, and I want to share with everybody my chicken song. I wrote this 7 years ago, and I'm just now ready to share it with everybody, and a lot of people have been asking me to put it on YouTube and Facebook, so here it is, and I hope you enjoy it.
By the way, before you think we're totally clowning on this chick, I will admit she has a great voice.
Oh, she has a great voice.
But still funny.
It's a hilarious song.
Here we go.
How do you want it? I want it fried. How do you like it? I like it with the rice. How much do you eat it? I eat it
clap
all
along,
the time.
People.
Chicken, 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 that's right. Love it when churches do the special jobs for me.
Churches.
I only pay a dollar for any two piece. Can't choose five different sides, including greens and baked beans. It's finger licking good. And it makes me want to scream.
Sing it, sister.
How do you want it? I want it fried. How do you like it?
I like it with rice.
How much do you eat it? I eat it all the time. Chicken, 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 that's right. Put up to pop drive got through, said that they were closed. I put up to the window and I asked for the manager, Joe. Took my order, I asked for some chicken and biscuits. I took the spoon, dove right in to the red beans and rice. My girl Ashley had some fries.
Go, Ashley.
Mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Color greens, how do you want it?
Oh, fries.
How do you like it? I like it with the rice.
Oh, yeah,
me too. You eat it? I eat it all the time. Chicken, 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 chicken. Wings on the chicken. Breast on the chicken. Thighs on the chicken. Legs on the chicken. Chicken, chicken. That's right. Ooh, I want some rump chicken with green on the side. I want mac and cheese. Good apple pie. I want some fried okra that can fill me a more. If you tell them how you like it, you can get it for sure. So how do you want it?
Fried?
How do you like it?
With rice.
I like it with rice. How much do you eat it? I eat it all the time. Chicken, chicken, come on, break it down. I don't want no beef, no.
Uh-uh.
I don't want no ham, no.
No way.
I don't want no turkey, no.
Nuh-uh.
I don't want no fish, no.
Hell no.
All I want is my chicken, y'all.
Yep.
All I want is my chicken, y'all. All I want is my chicken, y'all. All I want is my chicken, y'all. I don't want no ham, no. I don't want no turkey, no. I don't want no fish, no.
No
beef, sugar,
no.
All I want is my chicken, y'all. All I want is my chicken, y'all. I want my chicken, y'all. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for chicken.
Gave that chicken to thighs. And he gave that chicken to wangings. Said he gave that chicken to breasts. And he gave that chicken to legs. Said I believe that the chicken died so that we might live. How do you want it?
Fried.
How do you like again.
Motherfucking rice.
How much do we eat it all the time? Chicken, 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 that's right.
Well, go on with your bad self, girl.
That was the best thing I've ever heard.
Good for you, Logan.
What was the line? What was the line that we just lost to that?
Remember? God gave him two breastises.
Breastises.
Oh, props.
That's ballsy to fucking put that shit up on YouTube like or Facebook or anything.
I like that chick. That's funny.
That was awesome, man. Holy shit.
So anyway, I don't know. Do you have anything that you're burning to talk about?
I'm burning to talk about everything.
Like this guy who gave cocaine to trick-or-treaters?
Oh, yeah, I guess we can jump into that.
Cocaina.
Man. That's cool. It was where exactly? In the UK?
It was
somewhere?
in the UK.
In the UK.
a British man. Yes, Donald Green, 23.
Donald Green.
Mistakenly dropped baggies of cocaine into the candy sacks of three children ages 5, 6, and 8 instead of the Haribo candy he meant to give them, UPI reported. Whoops, I fucked up. Yeah.
Is this another Huffington Post story?
Yeah. Yes.
I can tell by the language.
Under weird news.
Yeah.
So, wow. 3, 5, 6, and 8. So, you know, parents complain about how their kids are all, like, jazzed up and hyper after eating all that candy.
It's not candy. It's coke.
That's cocaine, motherfucker.
What's up with the slideshow at the bottom? Is that, say, drugs hidden in the darndest places?
Yes.
Can we look at a couple of those?
My ass.
My ass!
Let's see. Drugs hidden in the darndest places.
It's like she's hiding it in her Simpsons like snout.
Ashley Bellamy, allegedly hid 36 vials of crack cocaine in her vagina to stay out of police custody. But officers noticed that the Philadelphia woman was walking funny, and she went to her hiding place. Yeah, her pussy was trying to go for a night in the town.
Wow.
I have crack up in my vagina. That's what she said.
Heroin or crack?
That's it says that the woman says, I have crack up in my vagina. And she pushed out 36 vials of crack cocaine that were in a bag.
She pushed that out. It sounds painful.
Giving birth to a crack baby. No pun intended.
Literally.
Crack pot found in man's prosthetic leg. Ooh. That's good shit right there.
That's fucking bomb.
It's good use of a fake leg. Let's see. These chicks, they smuggle cocaine in their weaves and their hair, so... good for them.
I got a weave.
I feel really bad. This guy, Byron Harvey, looks like he has one of those, you know, like the little like apron thing that hairdressers put over you? Looks like he's getting his hair cut. Well,
really?
Done.
It looks like he's dead based on his eyes. You can see like less than an eighth of his pupil. It's fucking great, man.
Yeah, this guy had a bunch of pills in his pants. All right, that's not very funny. That's, MC Hammer could have done that. Cocaine bricks and Xbox. That's pretty good.
That is pretty boss.
This guy ties 89 bags of drugs to his penis. Now, he is a black guy, so that is feasible. Wow. Packing something large. 89 bags of heroin and cocaine tied to his cock. That's impressive. Wow. I couldn't tie more than about one. Box of tampons. That's kind of gross. And another guy puts some coke up his ass.
Which is
pretty common, actually, in terms of smuggling drugs. Anyway, whatever. Enough of that. But I thought that was funny. So this guy accidentally gave coke to his trick-or-treaters. That's always nice. It's a nice little thing to find in your... Like, I remember as kids being all excited if you got, like, not the fun-size bar, but, like, a real Twix, like, a real Snickers, like, the whole thing.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Imagine how stoked you'd be if you found a bag of coke. And I've never done coke, so I don't know. But
I wouldn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. I wouldn't either. I guess sell it. Because I need the money.
Probably go trade it for like a king size candy bar. Hey man, I got something for you. No, cool. No. You show me the Twix. I show you the stuff.
Candy, it makes you dandy.
Oh, show. Here's another interesting, not drug related story, but alcohol related story, which is always fun. Apparently, moonshine makers set up shop in a Georgia city hall.
Cool.
Dawsonville, Georgia. These distillers are making their first batches of legal liquor in this tiny Georgia town city hall, not far from the mountains and the maroon. Okay.
The maroon?
Unless I'm orange and gold canopy of trees that once hid bootleggers from the law. So,
huh.
They're now legally allowed to make moonshine in City Hall in Dawsonville, Georgia. I thought that was pretty neat. I wanted to at least bring that up.
Why not, you know?
I know. Fuck, man. I'm down. I had a couple other fun ones here as well. Apparently, there were teens that for a 16th birthday party...
Oh, yes.
...got lap dances.
I heard about this.
Apparently, supposedly...
Was that here in the U.S.?
I believe so.
God damn it. Oh, yeah, New York. Okay.
Yeah, I have a video. allegedly, the moms may have hired these hookers, basically, to give lap dances. So let's check it out.
Parents hired strippers for their son's 16th birthday party. Good evening, and thanks for joining us. I'm Benita Zahn.
And I'm Jim Cambrick. South Glens Falls Police and Child Protective Services are investigating the party at a bowling alley earlier this month.
No, it's funny.
Bowling alley.
Bowling alley, yeah. Just for the record, this is Huffington Post.
Oh, really?
Yet again.
No surprise.
They want to know if the parents of the birthday boy provided the strippers. Mark Mulholland brings us the story live from our Saratoga newsroom. Good evening, Mark.
Well, good evening, Benita and Jim. This apparently wasn't your father's sweet 16 birthday party. 15 and 16-year-olds in attendance and two strippers giving them lap dances. This is one of the pictures that has parents upset. What appears to be a stripper straddling a teenager, her legs wrapped around his face. It happened at Spare Time Bowling Alley in South Glens Falls. Parents of a child who was turning 16 apparently hired two strippers as a birthday present and invited the boy's friends, boys and girls, to the surprise party. It seems the parents of the guests got a huge unwelcome surprise when they found out what happened.
Oh, no.
A person claiming to be the mother of a 15-year-old sent this letter to the Post Star anonymously, saying she was shocked when her son told her about the lap dances for teens.
You know, obviously, we're very concerned about this kind of
conduct. Yes, very.
If, in fact, it's...
Did you hear that? Just incredibly concerned.
Obviously,
it's the scourge of our city.
So concerned about this.
Mm.
Jesus Christ.
It happened the way we believe it happened.
News Channel 13 is...
Oh, really? Did you hear that?
It happened the way we think it happened.
...is not identifying the parents who apparently hired the strippers because charges haven't been filed. At least not yet.
I can't imagine that a parent would participate in the arrangement of that, but yes,
oh,
if
ghastly.
A parent was involved in the arrangement of this... strippers at a 16-year-old birthday party, then potentially he or she could be facing a charge of endangering the welfare of a child.
The DA says it appears the party was in a private room at the bowling alley. If it's true,
and bowling alleys had private rooms.
It was some kind of private room.
I haven't had this much sex since I was a Boy Scout leader.
It to happen, they could be in trouble with the state liquor authority.
Whoa. The state liquor authority is for protecting strippers?
Because he was licking her. Oh, God.
We were told
that. You know what? Get out. That was just that bad. That was... I feel bad for you right now. You just said that, and everybody heard you. I feel bad for you.
Everybody.
Right now. Everybody heard you.
All 10 people. All right, go ahead.
You need to go speak to the police department because it's under investigation.
Employees at the bowling alley weren't talking Wednesday. We also contacted Tops and Bottoms, the company that provided the strippers.
It's not Tops and Bottoms.
Oh, damn it.
It's Tops in Bottoms.
Oh, lame.
That's awesome.
Kay says the strippers could face charges for having sexual contact with minors.
The police are...
Whoa, they were paid for it.
I guess they wouldn't be employed much in Scranton. A lot of minors up there. Again?
Investigating because they say they...
Yeah, you do go to those. Again. Three times in one show, we're doing good.
Hey. Party was for people who are 16 and under, and wondered if that had been brought to your attention yet.
They promised to get back to us.
Now, the photos used in this story...
They promised to get back to us.
Oh, such a dumb
story. ...were posted on Facebook at one point, and they were
sent
to us anonymously. Again, News Channel 13 is not identifying the family involved here because no charges have been filed, but we did reach out to them for comment. They referred us to their attorney. Live in our Saratoga newsroom, I'm Mark Mulholland. Jim and...
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Who cares? That's such a non-issue. It's a different story if they were like an 8-year-old's birthday party and they got strippers. Kid's 16. You're sexually active at 16. At least many teens are, unless you're Justin Bieber. But he still hasn't gone through puberty.
Or the Jonas Brothers, who have their abstinence rings.
Their promise rings.
All controlled by Disney. But in something not related to Disney, this story caught my attention. Huffington Post again. My bad. I have a weird cough.
Extremely weird.
A weird cough. It's just a... Thanks for the filler, Jay. What the fuck was that?
Just a bunch of crazy cartoon noises.
Wow. So yeah, this one just caught my attention because are you done?
Yeah, I am totally done. Oh, there's that weird cough again.
Wow.
Come on, you can get through it. I have faith. No? Are we done? Okay. Well, this guy's having...
Fuck off.
Oh.
Okay. Anyways, I get... God damn it, Jay.
Sorry.
Stop it. move your finger away from
me. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead. Ronnie's about to die over here. It's not a good thing. So, I think we're going to talk about something involving porn agents. Let's see. The X-rated industry has agents negotiating deals just like Hollywood. And I think he's regained his composure here.
So. Nope.
Not quite. Okay, you're okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow, this is really simple story, too. It was basically one of these girls saying that her porn agent treats all of his girls just like daughters, which I found.
What does that mean?
Fuck. Might be getting sick. This is great. Apparently, you know how Hollywood stars have agents to negotiate contracts?
Yeah.
Apparently, so do porn stars, which is news to me.
Well, that makes sense, yeah.
And one of them was just gushing that her agent's so fabulous and treats us all like his daughters, which, I mean, he's having you have sex for money.
Yeah, very lucrative business.
Yeah, I didn't know that was like a daughter. I really just wanted to bring that up. That was so.
I still find it.
So, damn it!
I find it fascinating that I don't know. I mean,
goddamn difficult.
Do they even make like porn DVDs anymore? Because everything's so readily available on the internet now.
I really don't know.
Hmm. I don't know. I don't know either.
No, but that was a horrible coughing fit.
And this is again not necessarily related. But there is a
are you fucking done with that noise yet?
It's great. I like that boing. Boing. San Francisco lawmakers passed a vote to ban public nudity. And
the man, you know, dare I say, heading the ban is Scott Wiener.
Scott Wiener. How's that for a coinky dink?
Coinky dink. It's a Wiener band.
That's right.
For the record.
So in a close, oh my God, this is actually from MSN, not Huffington Post. In a close 6-5 vote, the approval means that exposed genitals will not be allowed in most public places. I'm a pretty, pretty hippie kind of free loving kind of guy. And even I agree with this ban.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You are?
Didn't we just discuss this off air? Or is this like a bit for the air?
You're right. Free loving hippie kind of guy?
You don't think so?
No.
No. Well, according to your friends, I have no soul. According to you.
You have no soul? Why is that?
I don't know. That's what they told me. They said, Ronnie said, you have no soul.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot to tell them not to tell you that.
Anyway, apparently I'm not a free loving guy. I tend to think I kind of am. I'm pretty liberal when it comes to social issues. Wouldn't you agree?
I'm based on who you voted for, extremely, yeah.
Despite who I voted for, I think I'm pretty tolerant when it comes to people being wacky and weird.
I would hope I am too.
In this case, I don't really need to see some, 50-year-old guy's nuts hanging around when I'm walking around San Francisco.
Just hanging around.
Because as we were talking off the air about how people always, they kind of had this glamorous kind of fantasy about what it would be like to live in a city or to go to a nude beach, you know, a place where people can just walk around free with their junk hanging out. And of course, everyone thinks it's going to be like, you know, Carmen Electra and he's a guy, Taylor Lautner or something like that. But it's always these people that are like way out of shape, don't really take great care of their bodies. They have that leathery skin since they never put on sunscreen. And yeah, their balls and their droopy tits are hanging out over all over the place. And who really wants to see that? I don't need to see that in a public place. I mean, there are plenty of places to go to see that kind of thing.
And this was actually a big deal before we started the Jar Show. Because, I mean, yeah, basically they were fighting for this right to be able to walk around nude in public places, and it was passed. Like, go ahead, do whatever the fuck you want. San Francisco being that nice, free-loving, hippie-like place, who's very liberal on, well, not just social issues, everything. And, yeah, they asked basically one thing of the people: carry around a towel or something so when you sit down, you don't leave anything behind.
Yeah.
In the bill, I believe the term anal seepage was used more than once.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, there's video, I watched it once, of a guy standing up on the podium naked and giving a speech. I'm tired of these people shoving their conservative ass viewpoints down my throat. It's like, wait, whoa. Conservative ass viewpoints? How about just, I don't want to see your dick and I don't want to see your shit on the bench.
Yeah, I think, I mean,
seems pretty reasonable.
And aside from the visual blight that would be elderly nuts hanging in people's faces, or, you know, droopy tits and vag for that matter. You don't want to see those beef curtains floating around when you're walking around,
beef
right?
Curtains? No, all that chicken.
Yeah. I like it fried.
Like with rice?
I think, like you were saying, I mean, it's, to me, it's not only just a visual kind of disgusting nastiness, it's also a health issue. Because things do tend to seep out of not only just your asshole, but, I mean, like, I don't know if you have this problem yet because you're young, but like,
are we going to expose a big issue? Well, no, aging men.
Yeah, sometimes when you piss, and even when you shake it off, there's still
a little bit,
right? And you know, the same goes for ejaculation, and I'm sure the female contingent also has things that can, you know, leak. So anyway, the point is, it's like, I don't want to like walk around, like, be waiting for a bus and have some dude's dick brush up against my hand who, like, just went to the bathroom, get his, like, pee-pee stains on my arm. Like,
pee-pee stains? I mean, dude, these pee-pee stains are so concerning.
I mean, I'm not even really that much of, like, a germ freak. It's just like, come on, man. I mean, do you really need to walk around, like, you know, near City Hall with your fucking
basically,
cock
I mean,
hanging
like,
out?
Like, yeah, the big fucking issue that came up that aroused from this was, yeah, there was a bunch of naked men. It started out like one or two, so it wasn't an issue.
Well, they said it was in the Castor District, which is very, very, very gay. Even gayer than the rest of San Francisco.
Interesting. Yeah. I did not know that. But yeah, it's basically like their town square. And the problem was, it started out like one or two, it was fine, but it grew to like eight or nine, like every afternoon, like at a certain time. And there were families in the residential area around it who were complaining that they don't want their kids to see that.
And I'm not, that's lame. That's a stupid excuse because kids have bodies too. I mean, everyone has, it's not like it's, you know, some weird freakish human, even though they're probably gross. But still, the point is, I mean, everyone's the same.
Look at the picture.
Yeah, no, that guy's pretty gross. But, yeah, that's dumb. Who cares? It's not going to affect you as a child if you see a naked person. But I think it's just, what's the need? Who cares?
What are you gaining off this?
I don't know. People pointing at you.
And you're not allowed to walk around aroused. It was another part of the law that was initially passed about a year ago. Yeah, because that's, you know, some weird, you're a sexual predator, then you go into Megan's Law's website or whatever the fuck that thing is.
Well, that's one of those things where, you know, it's involuntary. I mean, it might happen. I guess you have to, like, duck into a store or a bathroom or something if that happens.
Duck into a store and sit aroused looking.
Do
I want pistachios or am I looking for almonds? I like nuts.
Oh, really? Yeah, so I don't know. I'm actually in agreement that they should ban that because, don't really want to see that.
The Wiener Ban by Scott Wiener.
The Wiener Ban.
Isn't that great?
Don't do that. Don't ban wieners because I'm kind of attached to mine.
That thing was on there.
Anyway, that brings us to the 54-minute mark. Do you have anything else?
Yes.
Okay. Do tell.
So, yeah, this was just about a year ago, roughly a little more than a year ago. Definitely before we were doing the show. Yeah, there was a shooting in Seal Beach at Salon Meritage.
Ah, yes.
I think it made national news.
Yeah.
Because it was a big fucking deal. This guy walked in. He was pissed off at his ex-wife during a custody battle. And he basically shot up the place and killed and wounded a lot of fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
It's reopening. Salon Meritage. And there is a video from the Orange County Register.
Okay.
So let's check this out and see if this video does any good.
To let the richness of your grace touch everywhere within this space and fill it with your love.
It was important to come back to reinforce what was here before the tragedy.
More than a year ago, tragedy struck.
There was a shooting at Salon Meritage.
A man going through a custody battle allegedly shot and killed his wife and seven others at Salon Meritage in Seal Beach.
Oh, God.
On Sunday, a ceremony was held marking the reopening of the salon.
We just thought it would be better to have good win out over the evil.
The salon was completely rebuilt.
Short of the walls outside being torn down, everything else has been renewed.
Amazing grace, how sweet the.
Over the past year, Seal Beach held vigils to help heal the community.
Here it is.
And now it celebrates as Salon Meritage reopened its doors.
May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
And the salon.
May the Lord bless the salon. Well, so, that was a hairy situation. Yeah.
That was good.
Thank you.
Well, I'll actually give you one for that. That was bad. So yeah, I wanted to bring that up because that's local to us here. And
that's just okay. I'm not trying to make light of the guy dying, even though I blatantly played this shotgun blast there. I mean, not the guy, the people that got shot there. But yeah. Why would you close the salon just because of that? That's stupid. It's not like the salon was evil and ate people. It's just that some jackass decided to take out a bunch of people at a salon.
I believe he killed the owner of the salon. So, yeah, there was no owner. He basically broke everything in there. Wow, excuse me. And, they needed to clean it up. They wanted to redo it. Somebody who worked there bought it. So, it was just their place of making it look fancy.
Hmm.
Are you scratching your November beard on the mic?
I am.
Neat. And, one other thing that I did say I would get to, Jay got a parking ticket.
Well, yes, Ronald, I did indeed.
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica. A city that I used to kind of actually like because I went to the rings there to work out. Now I'm...
The rings?
The gymnastic rings.
Oh.
That's where that picture was taken right there, me and Brett. Santa Monica apparently has turned into... I don't know when this happened, but apparently they turned into like Beverly Hills where you can't park anywhere in the residential area unless you're a snooty piece of shit elitist bastard that lives there and you have a permit.
For the bourgeois liberals, yes.
So, whatever. But, I mean, the point is... I went to go to Chinua, which is a wolf...
Chinua.
Chinua, a Wolfgang Puck's Asian fusion restaurant there.
Neat, man.
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
Great place, by the way. But anyway, the Chinua parking lot was full, which is, maybe to be expected. It's a pretty hip place.
It's a Wednesday, though.
And the parking on the street, you'd be surprised when people were out. The parking on the street was all meters. And a lot of them were like bullshit meters that I don't know. Some of them were broken. Some of them were just like the times were odd. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, I went up like a block north just to go park. And there's ample parking there. It's like an entire block or two blocks of complete open parking. But every 5 feet, there's these big signs that say you can't park here. You'll get towed if you don't have a residential permit. And that is really irritating to me. The only place that I condone that kind of thing is the area around Disneyland. If you've noticed, they do that the same thing.
But they have a reason.
And I can understand that. You don't want every asshole in America coming to Disneyland parking in front of your house. I respect that. But Santa Monica is different. It's not like there. I mean, there's so much parking, and it's just a restaurant for Christ's sake. It's not like Disneyland. So, and they set it up in a way such that it's so easy to catch you because they monitor the meters between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m.
Fuck.
With a two hour maximum. So you can't, even if you wanted to put 5 hours on your meter, they won't let you do because they know that they're going to make a lot more money off of you giving you this $53 ticket. And the time they bust me, I was, you know, in the middle of a dinner, and I could have, I guess, gone out and fed the meter, but I didn't feel like it because I thought, who's going to actually check? And they ended up busting me about 20 minutes before they stopped policing the meters. So they had a good half hour to get me, and they did. And that's just so annoying. It's so obnoxious. I hate not being able to get free parking. Free parking is a fucking American right, damn it. That's just my opinion. I hate paying for parking. It's bullshit.
Now, the reason that I at least wanted to bring it up is because on our first podcast that Jay and I did, we went down the list because that was right around the time where Mayor Antonio
Villaraigosa
was raising the price of a parking ticket by $10 up to like $72 or something fucking ridiculous in the city of Los Angeles. And I believe Santa Monica. No, Beverly Hills is on the list, not Santa Monica. But another city that's like that, Alhambra, where my dad lives.
Really?
Yeah. Between the hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., you need a parking permit to be on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I did get a $50 ticket for that once. And I guess another street city, rather, that's like that is Hollywood. A friend of mine was playing at the LA Music Awards up there. And I went up there to see. It was like a small venue, I think, right next to the Roxy.
Okay, yeah.
And
the Whiskey A Go Go.
That I think maybe that might have been where it was. And I fucking pulled up there and asked the guy. I was like, "Hey, how much is parking?" And he goes, "It's $15." I said, "Fuck that! I'll park on the street." He goes, "You cannot. It's permit only." I said, "Fuck you, permit only. I'll go fucking find parking." And I drove around for like 20 minutes and I came back. It's like, "Hey man, I don't have any cash. Can I, do you take cards?" He's like, "No, I do not accept credit card. You bring me cash when you come get the car." I was like, "Okay." So I'm bringing my knife with me, and I'm going to come back here with like 12 guys to make sure I get my fucking car, because it was like really sketchy parking lot, a really sketchy Middle Eastern guy that I was not comfortable with. But yeah, that was my reason of wanting to bring up Jay's lovely parking ticket.
Parking infuriates me. I think there should be free parking everywhere. And, by the way, if anyone from the Huntington Beach City Council is listening to this, how about working on some goddamn garages in downtown? It's a pain in the ass to park there in the summer. Anyway.
Definitely. Fun fact, no parking meters in the city of Burbank.
Really?
Really.
Interesting.
Yep. City of LA, there's, maybe 10 or so thousand. And Burbank, none.
Cool.
Fun facts.
Well, we are at the end of the show. There it is.
There we go.
I am off to go watch this Lakers-Brooklyn Nets game, so hopefully they'll win.
And we will not be back Friday.
Okay.
Jay might be back Friday. I will not, though. I will return yet again next Tuesday.
What you doing Friday, son?
I'm
just curious.
Family.
No. Cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, in the meantime, you can find us on jarshow.podomatic.com.
Check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/jarshow.
Correct. And you can also, where can you also find us, Ronald?
You can find us on Twitter. Tweet us on Twitter and follow us. It's at jarshow. Send us an email if you have any suggestions for us. That's jaroftruth@gmail.com. And God, I know I'm forgetting one.
I'm not sure. Anyway, you can find us. We're around.
iTunes.
Yes.
Search Jar Show. Check us out, yo. This has been Jay Olin and Ronnie Johnson opening the Jar
of Truth.
A dream, pray to God to intervene on all the sorrow I've seen. Born out of here.